ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. One of the most critical subjects that we have to discuss and debate is how is our relationship here with others? Is it characterized by tension or integration? And how it should be? We live in a very diverse society, multicultural, multi-faith. Multiplicity in America is a cornerstone of this society and this culture. Diversity and multiplicity. And this is something very good, very healthy. When the country is diversified, the society, the community is diversified, you learn from others. You pick up good things from others. Now the director of this Dutch television who was here earlier tonight, when he was greeting people and he would get to know that this is, you know, from this nationality, that one from the other nationality, this one from the third, fourth, fifth, he said, this is very beautiful. People from different creeds, nationalities, cultures, they get together. They break bread together. They pray together. They speak to each other. This is healthy. In some countries, believe me, in some countries, and some of them are Islamic countries, people of one creed and one madhab, they don't get along together. People who belong to one language and one customs and one neighborhood, they don't get along together. While here in this country, alhamdulillah, we don't look at each other's birthplace. We don't look at each other's color. We do not look at each other's language. We look at each other's spirit and heart and intention. And this is what counts with God. This is what is important with God. How is your heart? How is your intention? Islam teaches us that to be universal in our thinking. Islam is not a cult, my friends. It's not a cult. Islam is a universal message that bears universal outreach. Islam is for all. Islam says, you are not alone in this universe. Do not alienate and marginalize yourself. Do not seclude yourself. Islam is not a gated community. Islam is an open community. Open to all ideas, to all peoples, to all cultures, to all humans. Islam is a religion that says in this book, in chapter 5, وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ. If you commit a murder against one innocent person, you have committed that against the entire humanity. Entire humanity. And if you save a life, you have saved the entire humanity. This is the perspective of Islam on humanity, on us. We belong to this big family called humanity. Do not narrow yourself. Don't confine yourself in these neighborhoods, in these ghettos, in these madahib and cults. You subscribe to the bigger community, the community of the earth and nas. قل يا أيها الناس, this is the message of the prophet. قل يا أيها الناس إني رسول الله إليكم جميعا. I'm the messenger. I'm a messenger for the entire mankind. Entire mankind. So how do we want to live in this society? Do we want to live always with tension? Or we want to live with integration, cross these barriers and reach out to others? And it is our responsibility first. It is our religion, our book, our prophet that call upon us day and night to reach out to others. So we must follow their instructions. Some people think that we need to protect ourselves. There are some arguments that I don't open up to others because if I do so, I cannot maintain my community, the integrity of my community. I cannot protect my children. And this is wrong. This is very wrong. You protect your children when you allow them to know others, to open up to others. And then they differentiate between who's who. This is the way. Some people think if I, you know, keep them away, they don't mingle with others, they don't read, they don't study, they don't watch, they don't hear, then that's the best way of keeping them within my creed, within my ideology, within my religious denomination, within my culture. But that's not right. You can't do this in America. America is an open society. Yes, you can keep your kids at home when they are 5 or 6 or 7, but when they are 15 and 16 and 17, you cannot keep them at home. You cannot keep them away from others when they start going to high school and college and university. They would listen to others. They would not listen to you alone. So you have to teach them how to protect themselves. Rather than you protecting them, they have to protect themselves. How do we teach them that? We teach them it's okay to meet others and talk to them and get to know them. But at the end of the day, you have to do your homework. You have to investigate. You have to incorporate your reason, your mind. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ Allah says those people who have a brain, who have intellect and reason, are those who listen to all parties, but then they choose the best. فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَهُ They follow the best among them. That's the best way to shield them against corruption, to allow them to, so they know why they are Muslim. Many people, they are Muslim, but they do not know why they are Muslim. They fail in the first test, in the first question. They fail. They don't know what to answer, what to say. Many people, they claim they are followers of Ahlul Bayt, but they do not know why they are followers of Ahlul Bayt. They fail. Why? Because their parents did not teach them to study others. When you study others, you start appreciating what you have. When you compare yourself to others. So we have to open up. How should we deal with others? Should we stay away from them? Islam always teaches us that you have to be a leader in the community. You have to be a leader. Your role here is a leader, not just in your family, but in your community, in your society, and your country too. Islam says you have to be influential, inspiring. Islam would not be happy with you living 50, 60, 70 years and then die. And you go with no legacy. You have not touched the heart of anyone, including your family, including your children. This is not good. This is not a life of achievement or legacy. You must touch the heart of people around you. You must inspire them. You must be influential through the thoughts that you have. through the knowledge that you have, through the akhlaq and the manners that you have. How do we reach out to others? When we speak to them. But if we are staying at home, we don't visit, neither we accept any visit, neither we go, nor we invite. People would not, you may stay with a neighbor in your neighborhood for 20 years and you don't even know his name or her name. That's not good. We must reach out to others and consider people. Number one, we have to remove these psychological barriers that stand in the way of meeting others. If I keep saying to myself, I'm better, I'm the best, my race, my language, my culture, my mother, my village, my country, my race, my blood is better than others, I would never open up to others. And I would keep building up this barrier between me and others. But if I say to myself, I'm a human being, and this person is a human being too. He also has parents. He also came from God, and to God one day he would go. He's not alien. He did not come from another planet. He's a human being. He shares a humanity with me. Therefore, let me reach out to him. Let me consider him to be my neighbor, my friend, my brother. الناس صنفان إما أخ لك في الدين أو نظير لك في الخلق. People are of two types, either a brethren in faith or a brethren in humanity. They share humanity. This is my family. My family is the universe, not just my village where I was born. The entire universe is my family. We have to have this universal approach, this universal brain. You are not local. And then give the people the benefit of the doubt. To always judge people that they are, you know, deviant, corrupt, kuffar, mushrikeen, you know, keep putting them down, faulting them. It would not get you to nowhere, but further tension and further hate. And this is what we see in some cultures, in some madahib. When you go to certain countries and masajid, even in the month of Ramadan, the job of the imam is only cursing. He knows nothing but cursing. Believe me, that's the only art that he masters. La'na, 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 la'na. Allahumma al'an fulan, Allahumma al'an fulan, Allahumma. That breeds violence and hate and makes youngsters as young as 14 and 15 and 16, they strap bombs around their body and then they go to London, to Paris, to New York, to this village and that mosque and this hospital, and they detonate themselves, they kill themselves and they kill others. That's the result. The result of this curse, la'na, 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 is to kill more people. And it's to divide the societies, to divide the humanities, to divide them. We need to bring them together. Allah said to Musa, Ya Musa, you know why I sent you? I sent you for to connect, lil-wasl, la lil-fasl, lil-wasl, to connect people, to bring the hearts together. This is your job. If you see two people not speaking to each other, you have to bring them together. Two communities have conflict, you have to bring them together. Two families, they don't have good relationship, you have to bring reforms. Let them speak to each other and respect each other. This is your job. Wasl, wasl, to connect. Not fasl, not to separate. What many people are doing today, they separate people from each other. Islam says, no, this is not good. This is not the purpose why you are here in this life. The purpose is to bring people together. Why do we read this dua? Have you thought? Why do we read this dua every night? Why do we do these prayers? Why do we do this fasting every day? For one reason. To be good to each other. To be nicer to each other. To be more kind to each other. to be more humble. One day the Prophet turned to his Sahaba, his community. He said, مَالِي لَا أَرَى عَلَيْكُمْ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ I don't see the effect, the beauty of faith on you. He said, وَمَا حَلَاوَةُ الْإِيمَانِ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ What is it? He said, حَلَاوَةُ الْإِيمَانِ التَّوَاضُع, humility. I see some of you are arrogant. Where is faith then? Where is the effect of faith on you? You pray and you fast, but you don't get anything out of that. I don't see it in your behavior, in your life. Where is it? He said, humility. Humility, تواضع. To be kind, to be humble, to accept people. The norm in Islam is acceptance. If we reject once in a while, that is not the norm. That is an exception. Exception. There are certain reasons that certain people, very few individuals among millions, that you should stay away from them. Because they are contagious. Unfortunately, they are contagious. Others, you have to embrace them. You have to accept them. We in America, we have Risala message, my friends. I always say, the Muslims in America, they have a double message. If someone comes from somewhere else to make money here, we came here to make money and something else, not just to make money. It's good to make money. It's good to send your kids to the best schools. It's good to generate money to help your family and help families. Very good. But it does not stop here. We have a greater responsibility. Besides making money, we have a responsibility of making goodness too in the societies. Spread goodness. Spread justice. Spread equality. Spread humanity. Teach people around us. We have to inspire. We have to inspire our neighborhood. If you are a Muslim in a neighborhood, you have to be more caring than others. You have to respect your street and your neighborhood more than others, because this is what your religion tells you, because you pray 5 times a day. Others, they might not pray 5 times a day. You fast 30 days in Ramadan. Others may not do that. You do these things. So we have to see the result of this worshipping and fasting and prayers on your daily life. Deen is not only for the akhirah, my friends. Deen is for the dunya too. وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا We should see the result of religion and religiosity on your daily life, on your daily activities, on your relationships with all people around you. They must feel that you are really truly religious through our behavior, through the way we speak, the way we behave, the way we deal, the way we purchase, the way we approach people. They should feel that we are, as Amin just said, the result of fasting is what? It's patience, yes. But unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't work. People fast 30 days, but they become more impatient. More impatient. They miss the point. They miss the point. They waste their time. They waste their time. And this is exactly what the Prophet ﷺ says. وَكَمْ مِنْ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعُ وَالْعَطَشِ How often times people fast, but they gain nothing but thirst and hunger. They don't get any spiritual value. They don't get any gain, spiritual gain. They get physical strain, but no spiritual gain. Because they miss the point. They miss why they are fasting. Fasting becomes a routine for them. A habit. Customs. Hey, Ramadan is here, let's fast. Why we are fasting, I really don't know. Because my mother is fasting. Because everybody else in the family is fasting, I have no choice. If I don't fast, I get no dinner. No lunch, you know. But when we fast on purpose, we know why we are fasting. Not because my family is fasting. Because I need to fast. I need to control myself. I need to control my desire. Here I start learning. Allah says when it comes to other communities, I want you to be good to them. You represent God. God says, I'm kind, I'm nice, I'm forgiving. So when you represent me, you have to embody these principles and these values. God says, leave people alone. I could have made all people Muslims. He could have done that, believe me. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَمَعَهُمْ عَلَى الْهُدَى I could have made all people muwahideen, worshippers, good believers, good committed Muslims, practicing Muslims, but I did not want to do that on purpose. Why? Because if I do that, what will happen? You tell me. If God forced me to be a Muslim, would there be any value in my Islam? No. Because it's not me, it's God is forcing me, pushing me against my will. So why should I deserve Jannah or paradise or reward? I'm being forced to follow this faith. God says, I don't do that. I don't force you. I want you to discover the faith yourself and follow it yourself with your own free will, with love. Follow religion with love, not with coercion. This is why I say to many mothers and fathers, please leave your children alone. Don't force them to practice religion. Teach them, but don't force them. Teach them. Encourage them. Make it easier for them. But don't force them. When you force them, you are not doing good to them, neither to yourself. One day, you look around, and you find your daughter is not in the mosque. Your son ran away from religion. He ran away from the family. Why? Because my father, he forced me. My mother forced me. Forced me to wear hijab, forced me to pray, forced me to fast, forced me. We shouldn't. We should educate. We are mu'allim, we are teachers. We sit with them in a nice way. And they are humans. They are humans. If we speak to them in a nice way, without pressure, without intimidation, with respect, and, as you said, with patience, because you can't switch them overnight, then you will see the fruits. They would follow it automatically. They would fall in love with it. You don't have to run after them and ask them, did you pray today? Did you fast today? Did you do? You don't have to. Because they get it, they learn it, they like it, and they follow it. It's about education. Allah says, be good to those around you. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم to be to use birr is the highest level of kindness. Where do you use birr usually? Where do we use birr? Huh? Where is it in the Quran? God says use birr. Birr is the highest level of kindness. Where should we use it? Exactly, with your parents. God says this high level of kindness and goodness, you may use it with people who are non-Muslim. They are non-Muslims. Christians, Jews, others, atheists. They don't know God. Use birr with them. And tabarruhum. This is the wording of the Quran in Surah Al-Mumtahanah. أَنْتَ بَرُّهُمْ That you do goodness to them. وَتُقْسِطُ إِلَيْهِمْ And you do justice. What's the meaning of qist? Qist also is justice. قُلْ أَمَرَ رَبِّي بِالْقِسْطِ Say, God commanded me to practice justice. Justice is not, we think justice is in the court, only the judge. No, you are judges here. You all, mothers, fathers, children, you are judges. And God asks you to implement justice. Justice with yourself. Don't abuse yourself. Don't mishandle yourself. Be merciful to yourself. Be merciful to your family. Be merciful to the environment. Be merciful to everything. قُلْ أَمَرَ رَبِّي بِالْقِسْطِ. And God says, use this qist with non-Muslims. God is saying this. Integrate with them. Work. Show the beauty of Islam. I said this the other day. There was a survey, a study about Islam in America. The survey says that whenever they interviewed some Americans about Islam, they found out that those who happened to have a Muslim neighbor or a Muslim co-worker, they were okay with Islam. They looked at Islam favorably. Those who happen not to have a Muslim neighbor, or probably a bad Muslim neighbor, I don't know, sometimes. Not all Muslim neighbors are good. No. Some of them, they don't represent Islam good. Okay? So those who happen not to know a Muslim, they had an unfavorable view of Islam. See? See the result of getting to know others and reaching out to others? Allah says, لِتَعَارَفُ. I created you. So you go to this community, to this family, to this church, to this synagogue, to this temple, to this quarter, to this culture, and introduce yourself. Speak to them. Sit with them. Tell them about your faith. Tell them about who you are. Ignorance is our biggest enemy today. People do not know the true story of Islam. People judge Islam by what they see in London. In Manchester, the killings, the bombings. This is how they judge Islam. But if you show them mercy and forgiveness and generosity and kindness, believe me, they respect you. They respect you. It depends on the language you speak. God has given us the power. If you speak the harsh language, you end up with harsh results. If you speak the good language, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, beautiful language, you reap the benefit of goodness in your society. And this is our responsibility. I keep saying, in America, Muslim immigrants have two big responsibilities. One, yes, economy, generate money, have a good life. Quran does not want you to be a burden on others. Quran wants you to be the source of giving, the source of contribution. This is number one. Number two, you are an ambassador. Tell yourself every morning, I'm an ambassador. I don't represent a country. I represent Islam. Islam is bigger than a country. Islam is a universal message. People look at me and they judge my religion with what I do. I always say, you think those neighbors, they go and open the Quran and they read the Quran? They don't even read the Bible, let alone the Quran. They know nothing about Islam. They judge Islam by the way you park your car outside. By the way you keep and maintain cleanliness. But if you throw these bottles outside and forks and whatever and the plates and cups, they say, this is Islam. See, this is Islam. Islam is on the floor. They don't come and read. They don't know the difference between Islam and Christianity and Judaism. And they don't read. They look at your behavior. They judge you by your behavior. If your behavior is good, they say his religion is good. If the behavior is bad, unfortunately, they look down at your faith, not just yourself, your religion, your prophet, your book. They look down at it. So we have a bigger responsibility to of introducing our religion in a way that makes God happy. God says, you are a good ambassador. You lived in America for 40 years. Look at the result. Look at how many hearts and minds you conquered. While others, they live again another 40 years, but they do nothing for God. And they come on the day of judgment empty-handed. With life of no achievement. Allah says the life of no achievement is the life of whom? Humans or animals? Animals. Allah says animals are busy always with food and drink. Food, drink, shelter. Food, drink, shelter. They have no aspirations. No animal would say, well, I love to save this neighborhood, you know. I have a plan, a dream for reforms in this society. Have you seen such animal? If you see him, say salam on my behalf. Animals, their entire aspiration is food, drink, shelter. يَأْكُلُونَ وَيَتَمَتَّعُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ وَالنَّارُ مَثْوَى لَهُمْ. On the day of judgment, those who have no dreams and no achievements, on the day of judgment also, they come empty-handed. But you are different. You fast. Ask yourself, why should I fast for 30 days? What is the result of fasting on my life? Am I the same with others who have no objectives and no goals? Or I'm different? Ask yourself this question. Allahumma akhbar lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat innaka mujibud da'awat innaka ghafirul khati'at. Please recite with me this ayah, li shifa'il marda, for the healing of the sick. And there are some of our friends, good friends, who are in the hospitals waiting for your dua and your supplications for them during these holy nights. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Amman yujibul muttarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul muttarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul muttarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu as-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المريضة المنظورة اللهم ألبسها ثوب الصحة والعافية وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلوات.